announcing. Titus 2, verse 13 is our text tonight. And I'm going to call the message, Where is Hope? Where is Hope? So go ahead and turn there. Now, while you're turning there, some of you, I don't know if you know, but some have been bringing their offerings by. They're going in the bank like they always do. Some have been mailing checks in. That's going in the bank like it always does. If you need to know where to mail it, it's 455 Hands Mill Highway, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732 is the zip code. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can bring it. And those of you who know me, I'm your pastor. I'm not going to give my physical address out here because of sometimes my preaching might, you never know. But anyway, you know where the church is. I'm here every day, at least 4 hours a day and more. But at least 4 hours a day, I'm here every day working. And if you would feel more comfortable delivering it, the building's clean, no one comes in or out, it's disinfected, you'd be welcome to bring it by here and drop it off as somebody did yesterday. And if you have cash, of course, that's the only way you can do it. Or you can just save it. If you can be a good steward and save it just a little while longer, and I really believe just a few weeks longer, we'll be able to open back up and you can bring it all in and we can rejoice with you. And then I want to ask you to do another thing too. Some of our elderly people do not have Facebook. They don't have computers. Would you please give them a call and tell them you've been praying for them. Send them a card and tell them you love them. We've not forgot about them. I do that. And then if they have a CD player, you can always order the CDs. We record every service here and we upload it onto our internet site at cbrh.org, cbrh.org. And you can listen to it online, but older folks don't have that. But if we make them a CD, most of them have CD players or DVD players. We'll play it also. It wouldn't be a picture, but there would be sound. So if you want to do it that way, the older folks will be able to hear the sermons, okay? And then, like I said, they really need a personal touch. So give them a call. Don't go see them. You'll scare them to death. Give them a call. Write them a letter. Send them a card. And then also I want to encourage you again before we go to our scripture. I want to encourage you. You're on Facebook. I don't know how many friends you have. Usually when people send me a friend request, I go to their page. I see who they are, what they're doing. I decline some I don't. And so I've got lots of friends that I don't know them. They don't know me. They follow my stuff. I see some of their stuff. But you've got other friends, and you could, as soon as this is over, you could share it directly to them on their page or in a message. Or you can share it in a group. Some of you ladies belong to prayer groups. Send it to that group as a share. Press share and pick out group and send it to that group. And if the group doesn't want it on there, then they have to give approval to put it on there. If they don't want it on there, they'll take it off. And if something happens they don't get to and they get mad at you, tell them you're sorry and you thought you could do that. But anyway, share it with groups. Share it with individuals. We're getting a lot. Because you are sharing it, I'm getting all kind of new friend requests every day, probably 8 to 10 every day requests, sometimes more. And a lot of those are preachers, a lot of them are Christian workers, a lot of them just Christian housewives or whatever. And so share it. And this way, even though we're not having church, we're really reaching more people. This message tonight will end up, some of them have reached as many as 1,400. And on the average, on Wednesday night, it will reach about 140 to 240 if you share it. So share it, okay? I don't mean to bore you with that, but I think since we can't get out there and do anything and we can't get them in here, this is a wonderful way to do that. I never thought I'd become a televangelist. Amen. All right. By now, you ought to know where Titus 2:13 is. And I want you to think about this. Where is our hope? Where's hope at? Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, of course, he's talking about the rapture and the believers being taken out of this old wicked world. And some people think that's the only hope we have. But according to the scriptures, there's other types of hope for the believer also. And I want to explain a few of those tonight. I won't take long. I only got 4 points. But you know, I preached an hour on 2 points before, so pray for me, okay? And but where is hope? Now, the times we live in, things look hopeless. Politics looks hopeless. It's almost hopeless. The corruption, the perversion, the graft, the greed is unbelievable. Unbelievable in our politics in America. God help us. We really have 2 parties now, the good and the evil. That's it. That's all we got. And so there's no hope in politics. And people we depend on, we have to have hope in. Your parents, you always had hope in them, and parents always had hope in you that you'd turn out right, and you've done pretty good. And the people we depend on and those that depend on us nowadays look hopeless. People don't know where to turn. The economy's in the tank, and that's all political. That's not the virus, that's political. That was all planned, I really believe that. The economy's in the tank. It's gone. It'll take a long time to build that back up. We have no hope in finances the economy. You know, I'll be 66 tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to live long enough to reclaim all the money I've lost in 401k and things like that. I don't know if I will or not. So I don't put any hope in finances. I don't put any hope in material things because most people are losing their jobs and they're losing things now. They'll lose things, these material things. So where is hope? Well, used to be you could run down to church on Sunday and get you a little hope down there at the church. Preacher would preach you a good message and the Holy Spirit move on your heart and you'd get some hope. Can't do that now. The churches are shut down. Can't do that. Churches are shut down. That's not going to last much longer. But it is right now. So a lot of people, lost people, they're not going to tune into things like this. Lost people will run down to the church looking for hope. And nowadays we can't even have church. So that looks hopeless. Of course, we're going to change that soon, I'm sure. But where is hope? Some people look to their feelings for hope. Well, there's not much good feelings going on anymore. Their feelings are not going to hold them up and give them hope. I've heard it today. There's more suicides right now than there's been in the past 10 years because of the situation that we're in. People are sick. They don't go by their feelings when they're sick. You pray that for healing or death, you know, to deliver you. Not much hope there. So where is hope? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, of course, we just talked about the blessed hope that Jesus is coming again. And he's going to take us out of that mess. But he didn't leave us in this world to be hopeless while we're here. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a living hope. His name's Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. He's a living Savior. He's not a dead Savior. I feel sorry for people that worship statues and stars and all these things. They don't have any hope right now. They don't have any hope. But see, I know I can have hope because my Savior defeated death, hell, and the grave and walked out victorious one day. And that gives me a living hope, not only a dying hope, but a living hope, because I'm going to live as long as God lives because he's alive. Jesus Christ would have to die for me to die. Because I've been born again. I'm an eternal being that's been born again. And he's going to change this old corruptible into incorruptible one day. So I have a living hope. I'm not just hoping in the church. The church can't save you. As well-meaning as most churches are, they can't save you. I'm not hoping in a pastor. I've had some good pastors. Taught me a lot. Loved me sometimes when I was unlovable. And listen, I never put my hope in a pastor. I feel sorry for these people that put their hope in a building or a church building or in a pastor or in a religious clergy, a priest or the pope or something like that. All those people are fallible. You can't put your hope in them. They might fall tomorrow. And they will fall and get up and fall and get up. So you can't put your hope in politics. Can't put in finances. You can't put it in clergy and pastors and preachers and all pope and things like that. Can't put it in church buildings. So you have a living hope. His name is Jesus Christ. And he promised me, he said, I'll go with you to the end of the age. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you know what? Several times in my life when others forsook me and left me, he came in when they went out. And he comforted me and he gave me hope. And that's where my hope is. My hope is in Jesus Christ. The finished work of a living Savior. I don't have to go walk around a big old giant black box over there in Mecca hoping I'll get to go to heaven. My hope's in a living Savior, not a box. By the way, in that box, there's a big old rock they claim fell down from heaven. So that's an idol, and they claim not to believe in idolatry. I don't have to put my hope in some cult leader. He's going to die. But Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. As long as he lives, I've got hope. Then number two, I'm going to show you another place. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Now this is Wednesday night Bible study. You're there at the house. I hope you got your Bible. Hebrews chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. When I got up here, I had the hiccups. They're gone. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Mount Melchizedek. Now I want you to look at that verse. We have an anchor for the soul. We have, which hope, we have an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Not only do I have a living hope, I've got a sure hope. I'm sure. I am 100% sure. I don't have a doubt of my hope in eternal life through Jesus Christ. He's my anchor. He's my foundation. He's the one that entered into the Holy of Holies there in heaven to offer that pure blood sacrifice that he gave there on Calvary so I could have an anchor and I could have a sure hope that I'm saved and I know I'm saved and I'll be eternally sure of that because that's a sure hope. He's the only sure hope you can have. I'm going to take this coat off. I am hot. But listen. We have a sure hope. You know what that means? Somebody says, do you think you're going to heaven? I said, no, I'm sure. That's just it. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I don't believe so. I've got a no so salvation because in verse 18 he says that by two immutable things, that's things that can't be found anything wrong with, in which it was impossible for God to lie. God can't lie. He made me the promise. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set forth before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Now, my hope is sure and steadfast. Now, Marshfield, 1978, I will say, 23 years old, if I'm remembering right. And when I was saved, I didn't know anything about salvation. I thought I was going to ask the Lord to save me, and then I was going to have to help him keep me saved. But you know what I found out reading the Word of God? I was saved eternally that day. and according to the word of God, and he says, verse 18, the God which cannot lie, it is written, God said it, and that settles it, I'm sure I'm going to heaven, because he says, many have received the Son, that they'd have eternal life. And that day I received him, and I was born again, I have eternal life, and I am sure of that. I don't doubt that one bit. I've not doubted that since I did it. Now, I've doubted me. I've doubted other people. I've doubted even the churches I've been in sometimes. I've doubted my own self, but I've never doubted him. I've doubted my calling to preach. I've doubted, I certainly doubt my ability to sing, as you've seen, but I've never doubted that he gave me eternal life, because my soul is anchored in him, and for me to die and go to hell, he'd have to die and go to hell, and I'm sure of that. So I don't think I'm going to heaven. I am sure, I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I die today, I'm going to heaven because of what he did, and it's finished, and it's done, and God can't lie, and he's the one that said it. So I have a living hope, his name's Jesus Christ, but I also have a sure hope, that is Jesus Christ again, and his finished work. And now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I hope I'm not going too fast tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I know how things can get distracting around the house, and I hope I don't lose you. Okay, I said we have a living hope, and I said we have a sure hope, and where is our hope? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're there, start with verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, you ought to read more of these passages, but if I did, it would take a lot longer than what it's taken. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." See that? "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, I have an eternal hope. That's a sustaining hope. That's a hope that will go through eternity. A lot of people, they'll have hope for a little while, and then they'll give up. Let me tell you something. I've had people say, I say, "Do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven?" And they say, "Well, I used to be saved." Or they say, "Well, I used to think I was saved, but I'm lost again." Well, let me ask you something. How can you have hope that is living? And how can you have hope that is sure? And how can you have an eternal hope without it being a sustaining hope, a hope that holds you up and sustains you? How can you do that? You can't. You see, I believe the problem is not we've got so many backsliders. My problem is, like old Billy Sunday said, I think the problem is they never slid forward in the first place. I'm afraid a lot of people have said a sinner's prayer, or got baptized, or joined the church, or turned over a new leaf, or they were raised right. And I don't want to belittle this, but mama said a prayer with them when they were real little and they had no idea what they were doing. And that kind of stuff doesn't last, see. When the storms come, the trials come, the tribulation comes, the testing comes, that hope is not sustaining. It will not sustain you because it's not built on the right thing. The cornerstone that we read there in 1 Peter chapter 1 is Jesus Christ. And he said, "The man that builds his house on the rock, it'll stand the storm, but the ones that builds it on the shifting sands, when the winds and storms come, it'll fall." And I'm afraid a lot of people don't have the sustaining hope because they don't have the real thing. They put their hope in what their mama told them or their grandma or what the pastor told them. Or maybe they filled out a card at church and they thought filling out that card saved them. Now, I'm not belittling anybody's salvation experience, but I'm telling you, none of those things save you. What saves you and gives you a sustaining hope is getting your feet on the rock called Jesus Christ. Your faith should be in Him and Him alone. Now, if you can go back and you say, well, one day my mama prayed with me, or my daddy prayed with me, or the preacher prayed with me, or the Sunday school prayed with me, or somebody in the church prayed with me, and I was real young, I didn't know everything I was doing, but I asked the Lord to save me. Well, I'll just say this, if you meant it, He meant it. You didn't have to understand all of it. All you had to do is ask and receive. And He was serious whether you understood it all or not. Now, if you were serious, that same hope will sustain you. It'll keep you to the end. Now, you'll fall and get up and fall and get up and fail and get better and fail again. And you'll draw nigh to God and you'll wander away and come back again. But you'll always have that sustaining hope. That's why He tells us to raise our children that way, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It's not that we whip them right, or we discipline them right, or we teach them good manners. It's this is it, that we get them to Jesus Christ. There's the rock, there's the anchor, there's what they need their hope built in. Now, I said, where's your hope? Where's our hope? We live in bad times. We live in troubling times. Some of you watch your bank account drop off by half just the past month. Some of you lost your job. Some of you lost your savings. Some of you have been let down by loved ones. Some of you are afraid right now you're going to get this sickness and die. Some of you locked up in the house like Fort Knox. You're scared to death to pick up a letter. You're afraid it's got germs on it. You're afraid to touch a door handle. You're afraid it's got germs on it. And you're living in fear. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? I hear all kinds of things. Where's your hope? Well, I'm glad I've got a living hope. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead. I'm glad I've got a sure hope. He's my solid foundation. He is my anchor for my soul. I'm glad I've got a sustaining hope. What I've got in Him will keep me. He'll keep me. Jude says, now in Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy, He keeps me. I don't keep me. I don't do that. My hope is in Him, not me. If it was in me, I'd have failed so many times, I wouldn't have any hope right now. And you wouldn't either. We put our hope in Him, okay? Governments come and go. Money comes and goes. Friends come and go. Churches come and go. Preachers come and go. Sunday school teachers come and go. Parents come and they're gone. Brothers and sisters. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not, and He'll keep you. And keep that hope that He put in you. Because see, that's a gift of God. You didn't have that. He gave it to you. Now, last but not least, Psalm 17, verse 15. Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's a satisfying hope. You know what satisfies us as true believers is that one day, because of His righteousness, even though we might lay down in that old cold ground called a grave, one day we'll look on His face. We'll look on His face. And that's really the only thing that'll satisfy us. We ran all over this world looking for something to satisfy us. And then we came to Jesus Christ and He satisfied our soul. And one day, in eternity, we'll be completely satisfied. Now, I'm satisfied in my faith and my hope and all these things. But you know, I still want to see Him with these eyes. I've never seen Him with these eyes. And I'll never be satisfied until I put my eyes on Him. And then I'll be satisfied in that hope That's a satisfying hope that one day the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, comfort one another with these words. Now, why would that comfort us? Because we'll finally get to see our Savior. We'll get to see our anchor. We'll get to see our rock. We'll get to see our living hope, our sure hope, our sustaining hope. And all of those are in him and through him. And we'll finally get to see him face to face. And that will be our satisfying hope. Now, he satisfies us. He gives us that pure water flowing from the throne of God through the word of God. But one day, we'll get to see him face to face. And then we'll be satisfied. Completely satisfied. Eternally satisfied. But in the meantime, I'm going to keep looking at the living hope. And I'm going to keep believing in the sure hope. And I'm going to keep looking forward to my sustaining hope that one day I'll have a satisfying hope. I hope to see him. And I know I will. I don't have a doubt in my mind. Now, let me ask you again. Where's your hope? Where's your hope? You know, there's a lot of people that, even in churches, you can't talk to them because they have no hope. They may have church membership. They may have been baptized. But they don't have Jesus Christ. So therefore, they're always gloom and doom. They're always, you can have a silver lining and they'll find a dark cloud put right in the middle of that thing. They're always negative. They're always unbelieving. And what it is, they've never found the real hope, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to let those people drag me down. I'm not going to do it. You know, we'll be like Job. He said, though he slay me, I will trust him. And he also said, one day after skin worms have eaten his flesh, these eyes shall see him. That's hope. That's the real thing. Now, I'm hoping, I know these things. I'm put my eternal hope on these things. I'm hoping the government's going to let us loose pretty soon. I'm hoping this virus is going to die down. It is. It's just a natural thing. It's going to die down. And I'm hoping to see you again. And I'm hoping to fill up this building again with hungry hearts and hungry minds. And I'm hoping to see sinners walk these aisles again. I'm hoping to see saints praising the Lord again. But whether that ever happens or not, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I can still have my eternal hope, my living hope, my sustaining hope, and my satisfying hope, even if this building never opened again. So I'm going to ask you, where's your hope? Father, I pray you not only give us that blessed hope that one day the trumpet is going to sound, you're going to take us out of here, but give us living hope, God. People need to live. We need to live, God. They need to open up businesses again. People need to go to work again, God. We need to live. And while we're living, we need hope, that living hope, Lord. And Lord, I pray today that if there's one living among us, one that's listening, that is not saved and they have no hope, that tonight you touched their heart and they would turn to you, admit they're a sinner, and ask Jesus to save them. And if there's Christians out there, Lord, that's given up hope, I pray tonight that this message has given them hope, renewed their hope through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And then, God, I hope with any week now, any time, you'll let us open up these doors again and have fellowship one with another. And we'll praise you for it. Thank you for what you've said tonight. Thank you for those watching. We ask you to bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope y'all have a good night.